Chapter 3. I'd never held a sword or used it to attack another person or beast. Lucian had assaulted me with one not long ago, but I couldn't remember how he'd used it or if he'd had any skilled movements. But by the time he arrived at the manor, he was a drunken mess anyway. But I could figure this out. I gripped the broadsword's hilt tightly in my hand and felt an immense power rush through me. Daisy was right when she said I needed a weapon, but even though I felt capable with this sword in my hand, I knew it wasn't the right one for me. My women waited for my next instructions, and I shifted the mighty heavy sword in my hands. I lifted the blade high toward the swirling gray clouds above our heads, and my women took it as a sign. All of them galloped forward on their horses, and I felt their powers immediately heat the air as they activated. I gripped the reins tightly in my hands and raced ahead toward the darkened cave. The drake wasn't entirely out of the cavern, but stuck out its enormous scaled head and roared with all its might. Even from just seeing its head, I knew the beast was colossal in size. Its skull was almost the size of one horse's entire body, and jagged, spiraling horns stuck out of its skull in a broad scarlet crest. I'd never seen a dragon before, and it was fabled that all of them had died off. But it was clear that drakes, at least, were very much alive and thriving in the mountains.
Maybe it's trying to protect some type of treasure deep in its lair,
Valerie giggled as she blasted past me.
First one to find it gets to keep it.
This isn't some sort of fairy tale, Val. Hidden treasure doesn't exist in the real world.
Real world?
The cat girl shouted and phased out of view along with her horse.
We live in a reality where monster women now exist, Daisy. You gotta believe!
I have to agree with Daisy here,
Josephine stammered.
The prospect of finding a treasure in this beast's cave is very low.
Even though the heiress was a skilled horsewoman, her erratic movements on the horse told me that she was terrified of the wild beast hiding inside the cavern. Her wide orange cat-like eyes stayed on the dark hole where the drake's head disappeared for half a second and then reappeared with an enormous blast of blue flames.
The treasure is mine,
Ryan roared.
No one gets to touch it, and I'll lay atop my golden nugget bed for the rest of my life.
We have to do what we did with the Raiju, I commanded. We have to lure it out into the open and then hit it hard. But this time you're allowed to use as much force as possible. We must kill the drake to retrieve the core. That's the reason why we're here. We can't disable this thing and bring it back to the manor. I may have enlarged compartment A, but there's no way that this thing will fit inside of it.
You got it, Charles!
The ash blonde shouted from wherever she was.
Oh, I've been waiting for this. I held back my fire against the aristocrats, but I won't do it this time. Now it's getting really interesting.
Josephine! I barked over the roars. Can you use your powers on it? Force it out of the cave? The heiress's panicked orange eyes met mine, and she pressed her plump lips into a firm, determined line with a single nod. She'd gotten control over her horse, and she'd seemed to calm down a bit, but I knew that in order to force the drake out, she'd need to use all of her concentration.
I can bring it out,
the honey blonde shouted.
But I won't be able to control it once it's out. It's far too big and strong for me to get a steady hold on it.
All right, just get it out of there and we'll do the rest. If you can do something like controlled bursts of your power, that'd be extremely helpful in bringing this thing down.
I can do that. But it's going to take all of my strength.
Do what you can, I boomed, gripped the reins in my left hand, and lifted the broadsword with my right. I kicked my horse, and the enormous creature reared back with a braying neigh. We shot forward, and everything around us was a blur of color and masses. But as we moved, I finally focused my eyes. The drake's head popped out of the hole again and opened its mouth to send a flurry of fire in Daisy's direction. But the beast paused for a slight moment. Josephine's face showed the signs of her ability working, and I swiveled my attention back toward the drake. With slow, sluggish movements, the enormous scaled lizard climbed out of the cave, and we finally got a good look at it. The beast was so huge that it nearly blotted out the cloud-covered sun above us, and as it threw back its giant head, its horns scraped at the rock walls of the mountain. The scarlet scales around its angular face were pointed and jagged, while the bright hue of red deepened to a dark wine color down its back and underbelly. Bright yellow streaked its horns, legs, and whipping tail, and directly at the tip was a single deadly-looking spike. The Drake looked bigger than some of the shops in downtown Edenheart. We'd fought against the Raiju and managed to incapacitate it, but I had no idea how we'd be able to do this. My women may have been strong, but this thing looked as if it could take out a whole town in a matter of seconds, with little to no effort.
Holy moly! We got a big one here! Edeny, we're gonna need some of those intense Powerball things!
The Duchess glanced down at her delicate gloved hands, and her expression looked more than apprehensive. But she nodded and grimaced with determination. This wasn't like the battle against the aristocrats, and she knew it. We didn't have to hold back this time, and she could put all of her power into her attacks. The she-wolf let go of the reins, guided the horse with her knees around the frozen beast, and raised both of her hands over her head. Her palms slapped together, and her violet eyes fluttered closed as she breathed in deeply among the chaos. The Duchess slowly drew her hands apart, and a giant orb formed in between her clutches. The sphere undulated and wobbled for a second, then held steady as she fought to control it. The ball of energy was mostly see-through, but it looked as if it were streaked with bright golds and neon yellows as the electricity flashed through it wildly.
You need to do it soon,
Josephine forced out through clenched teeth.
It's getting difficult to hold.
Edeny's hands brought the orb down to her chest for a moment, breathed deeply, and then she snapped her eyes open. Blinding white light poured out of the she-wolf's eye sockets as if some sort of unearthly being possessed her. Then the wolf woman brought the orb even closer to her body, and right as it was about to brush against her chest, her mouth dropped open. A rageful scream rose up her throat, and she exploded the electrical sphere toward the Drake.
That's it!
Josephine winced.
I'm sorry!
I felt the strange sensation of Josephine's power as it retracted, and the heiress slumped forward into her saddle with labored huffs. She'd done her best, and as soon as she recovered from the attack, she'd try to control the Drake again. It would take a lot out of her, but over the next few days, I'd concoct a few potions to speed up her healing process and renew her vitality. The orb of electricity shot through the air like a bullet and slammed into the Drake's side with a hail of orange sparks. Smoke blasted into the air and obscured the enormous beast from view for a few seconds. When it finally cleared, the place where Edeny's attack hit was torn to shreds, and I could have sworn I saw the peeking of white bone from deep within the bloody meat. The Drake lifted its massive head, roared at the sky, and immediately ripped after Edeny's horse. The Duchess laughed lightly, guided her horse with her knees in the opposite direction, and brought up both of her hands in front of her. Spears of sizzling energy shot out of the she-wolf's palms and slammed into the Drake's injured side. The huge beast bellowed in rage and opened its mouth to send out a blast of fire in the Duchess's direction. But its mouth hung open and nothing came out except a pathetic puff of smoke.
No, you don't, you bastard!
Josephine growled through clenched teeth.
Edeny, get out of the way! My turn!
Valerie's voice came from somewhere to the left, and I heard the pounding of her horse's hooves on the broken earth. I tried to locate her in the fray, but the only sign that she was there was a discarded sword on the ground that disappeared within an instant. As I kept a close eye on the Drake, long, deep cuts ripped up its flank, and Valerie's cackling laughter lifted into the air. She only reappeared once as she casually dropped from the horse's saddle, leapt into the air, and landed on the Drake's broad back. The sword she held never stopped swinging for an instant, and bluish purple blood poured down the beast's flanks like rivers. As soon as the blood dripped off the Drake's sides in rivulets, it hit the ground and began to sizzle and smoke as if it were highly acidic.
No way,
Ryan boomed.
You're not going to have all the fun. Now it's my turn.
The imp woman raced forward on her horse, threw her head back, and jabbed her hands out in front of her. Her arms crossed and walls of flames burst up, surrounding the Drake in all directions. The fire crackled in orange and yellow hues, but as the black-haired beauty raced circles around the Drake, the heat intensified to neon and icy shades. Smoke billowed to the blackened sky, and when I glanced up at it, the clouds swirled around as if a tornado were about to touch down. I immediately searched for Edeny through the fray and found her on the edge of the forest. Her holy white eyes were aimed above the darkening, churning clouds, and suddenly they broke up. The lightning bolt slashing down through the sky was more massive than I'd ever seen in my life, and it smashed into the Drake with little mercy. The beast let out a low bellow and was obscured by smoke for a second time. I smelled its flesh burning from all of the combined attacks.
Here we go again!
Josephine screamed above the rolling thunder.
Get ready!
The heiress threw out her hands, and this time she screamed, enraged. Her orange cat-like eyes showed a determination and an unadulterated hatred that I'd never seen from the honey blonde before. Her hands reached out for something, tensed, and then formed into tight, white-knuckled fists. The drake froze with its head thrown back, and I glanced over my shoulder toward Daisy. My eyes shifted toward the beast's head, then its neck, then back to the brunette. The bear girl understood what I meant and nodded once. Both of us knew that now was our time, and if we hesitated for even a second, we'd lose our only chance. The two of us snapped the reins against our horses' backs, and we raced forward together. The drake grew nearer and nearer in its frozen state, and its hateful yellow eyes stared down at us with a vile, human intelligence that even the Raiju didn't have. Out of the corner of my eye, Daisy lowered herself closer to the horn of her saddle, kept her golden eyes glued on the statuesque creature in front of us, and dropped the reins from her hands. Daisy kicked out of the stirrups, lifted both of her legs, pressed her heavy boots against the saddle, and stood free in the whipping wind. The brunette steadied herself, and right as her horse seemed to collide with the drake, the bear girl leapt from the saddle. Daisy flipped through the air once, bent her knees, and raced up the creature's curved, scaly neck. The bear girl fought her way in between the drake's enormous horns, stood on the crest of its massive head, and then searched for me. I reached the drake shortly after, and Daisy's gaze collided with mine. We were a unit, and we'd work together in perfect tandem. The bear girl dropped to her knees and knitted her fingers together over her head right as I lifted the broadsword, and her fists came down right as I slashed toward the drake's thick, meaty neck. The crack that came after sent shockwaves through the ground my horse stood on, but I pushed against it, brought the broadsword back, and slashed deep into the drake's neck. Purplish-blue blood poured out onto the ground and sizzled with intense heat as the drake's skull cracked and caved in. The splintering of the beast's bones sounded like the felling of massive oaks. "Now!" I roared to my other women. Ryan, Valerie, and Edeny moved in from all sides with their powers activated, and even though it was only a few feet away, the drake disappeared in a haze of smoke and the stench of blazing fire. The gigantic beast let out one last bellow, but this time it came out forced and garbled from the jagged cut across its throat. Josephine screamed at the top of her lungs and let her hands drop. I snatched my horse's reins and pulled the creature backward right as the smoke began to clear. The drake stood tall for a second, but the crown of its head was nearly caved in, and one of its hateful yellow eyes hung limply from its meaty optic nerve. The appendage swung limply against the creature's angled cheek, and for a second I thought we'd have to keep fighting. I already knew that my women were exhausted from the looks on their faces, but they'd willingly battle on if they had to. The drake wobbled for a second as its single eye rolled in its cracked socket. The beast's blood-streaked lips opened and closed with a few pathetic puffs of black smoke.
Come on! Come on! You know you just want to lay down for a little nappy poo.
The beast groaned and fell forward with a thunderous crash. Beyond the cleared area, trees shook, and a few fell from the enormous vibration. The drake's yellow eye swiveled around for a second, but suddenly rolled up toward the boiling sky and glossed over. I pulled back on the reins of my horse, slid out of the stirrups, and jumped to the soft ground below.
Is it dead?
Josephine panted. I crept forward and paused as I stood a few feet away from the drake's colossal skull. I gripped the broadsword's hilt a little tighter and used the blade's tip to nudge the creature's cheek. The sharp edge entered into the flesh in between two thick scales, and when I pulled back, blood trickled out and smoked the instant it contacted the air. It's dead, I confirmed. Now, to get the core out.
Do you have any idea where it might be within the drake?
The feline woman asked.
Let's start hacking at it,
Ryan chuckled.
And find out where it is.
No, I shook my head. The core serves as the beast's heart. It should be within its ribcage. Daisy, can you flip it over onto its back for me?
I can try.
The bear girl nodded, stepped forward, and cracked her knuckles. Good. I just don't want any of you to touch the blood. It didn't harm my sword when I stabbed into it, but it could be acidic to flesh. We don't know, so we won't try.
Good thinking, Charles.
Edany nodded and dismounted her horse. The brunette glanced over the drake's scaly flesh, found a spot that wasn't coated in the purplish-blue blood, and pressed her hands there. The bear girl grunted and gritted her teeth as she pushed, and before long, the enormous beast tilted. The drake rolled over onto its back, and the brunette brushed off her hands with a satisfied smirk. I didn't hesitate, gripped the hilt of the broadsword, and stabbed into the beast's soft underbelly. The tender skin parted like a hot knife through butter, and more of the acidic blood poured out onto the dirt near my feet. I sawed away at the dense muscle for a few minutes, and finally broke through to the bones of the drake's ribs. Using the tip of the sword, I widened the hole in its chest, and with Josephine's help, the creature's cage-like ribs vibrated for a second, and then cracked open. My broadsword slashed through the layers of crepe-like lungs, and finally, after minutes of searching, the tip of my weapon clanged against something solid.
What was that? That certainly didn't sound like something that's supposed to be inside of something's body.
I think it's the core, I grunted. Give me a minute. I need to get all of this tissue out of the way before I can wedge it out. Using the sword's blade, I cut through excess lung tissue and used the tip to fling it out into the dirt. I worked feverishly as I cleared the lungs out, but the core didn't reveal itself yet. I dug through and felt the vibration in my arm as the broadsword connected with whatever was hidden deep inside the drake's chest cavity. I think I can get it now, I muttered. Do any of you have a spare piece of cloth? We'll probably have to clean it off, but I don't want any of you to touch it with your bare hands.
I do,
Daisy breathed and reached into one of her horse's saddlebags.
Here, take this.
Josephine grabbed the swatch of cloth and hurried over to my side. I gripped the hilt even harder, dug into the thick tissue, and searched for the object again. Once my broadsword clanged against it, I wedged the blade underneath it and pulled the hilt toward my chest. I struggled for a moment, and sweat beaded on my forehead from exertion. But right as I was about to pause to take a break, a muffled crack rose from inside the ribcage. The object lodged inside the drake came out with a moist plop, landed on the dirt, and rolled a few feet away.
Oh, my goodness,
Josephine gasped.
It's so beautiful. Look at all the colors. It looks like a little galaxy.
I wouldn't exactly call it little. That thing is huge.
I dropped the broadsword and took the swatch of fabric from the heiress's hands. The core rested against the fresh earth, and I gazed down at it with wide, mystified eyes. The orb was roughly 12 inches around, and just as Valerie said, it looked like a miniature galaxy trapped inside a glass sphere. I reached out toward it with the cloth covering both of my hands, and as soon as my finger brushed its surface, I felt a sudden, overwhelming surge of power and energy. One second I felt exhausted and fatigued from the days of travel and the battle, and the next, I felt as if I'd woken up from a good night's rest on a bright, sunny morning. I've never seen anything like it, I breathed. This is magnificent. I hastily wiped the drake's blood off the core, discarded the fabric swatch, and lifted the sphere in my hands. The same sensation from before washed over me, but this time it was so intense that I almost wanted to let go. I held it out to my women, and they stared down at it with awe-struck expressions. This is it. This is the key to our future. We'll use this core in the heart of our machine and never have to find another beast for an experiment ever again. This will create entire armies of monster women for us. Hundreds, even thousands of them. It'll never break down or wear out. This is it! I held the orb aloft for a moment and laughed heartily. This was the solution to all of our problems, or at least for now. I'd waited so long to find it, and we finally had it in our hands.
That thing's pretty solid. How are we going to break it? Tools?
No. I shook my head, brought the core back down, and held it close to my chest. You can't break this with tools, or any human-made contraption.
Then what do we use?
Josephine asked. There are a lot of things in this world that can't be broken by mortal tools, I explained. But there is a way that we can do it.
How?
Edany probed. Alchemy. I'll use my skills to break this thing into pieces. I've done things similar to this, but never on this large of a scale. It'll take a little bit of work, and I'll have to dive back into my handwritten notes, but I'm sure that it can be done. I moved toward my horse, then slipped the core inside my saddlebag for safekeeping.
Should we head home?
The imp woman asked.
Wait! Just wait a second!
What is it? I asked. What's the matter?
Could I... maybe... possibly...
The ash blonde pouted and then spewed everything out in a rush.
Go explore that cave for a second. I want to check for treasure.
Well,
Daisy chuckled.
I highly doubt that there's anything down there except for dry animal bones and drake dung.
You know what? Go ahead. Do you want us to come down with you?
Nope. I'll only be a second. I'm just going to hop down there, look around, and bring back any of the treasure that I can find. Also, it looks like a straight drop, so anyone without cat-like reflexes might get hurt trying to climb down.
Fine. Go ahead, but make it quick. We need to get the core back home as soon as possible.
Okay!
Valerie shouted and skipped away.
I'll be back in 2 swishes of cat's tail.
The feline woman stood at the edge of the cavern, lowered herself to her knees, and then deftly climbed down into the darkness. My other women glanced around at each other for a second, and suddenly, Ryan shook her head and giggled.
What's the matter?
Josephine asked.
She didn't even win the fight. If we're going off of who won the treasure, it should be Daisy going down there.
Me? Go down there? No way. May I remind you that I am part bear? The only thing I've ever climbed is a tree to get to some delicious honey.
I won fair and square!
Valerie's voice echoed up to us.
And if I find anything, I'll be sure to give it to Daisy since she won.
I doubt that you'll find anything. But thank you. I appreciate the sentiment.
It's really dark down here,
the feline woman called up to us.
But I can see pretty well. There are a lot of bones, just like you said, Daisy. But there's no dung. Whatever the hell that is. There doesn't seem to be anything. Ooh, what are you, my pretty?
What did you find? I called down to her from the edge.
I'll bring it to you, but I've got to wrench it free out of this lady's hands. Ah, there we go. Thank you, sir. I'm sure you don't need this anymore.
The five of us waited patiently at the entrance of the hole while Valerie climbed back up. The cat girl made soft grunting noises as she climbed and hopped ledge to ledge, and before long, one of her hands reached the edge of the cavern. I immediately bent and grabbed her by the forearm before lifting her up and out. What did you find? I asked.
This!
The ash blonde thrust out the object firmly in her hands.
Isn't it pretty? I don't know what it is, but look at it!
Valerie held a medium-sized staff that looked as if it were made from gnarled, twisted wood. But when I reached out to take it, it felt cold to the touch, like metal. At the tip of the weapon, the swirling veins of wood came to 3 points, and a broken amethyst crystal rested between the 3 spokes. The jewel looked as if it had been smashed against a rock or something like that. But an idea instantly passed through my brain.
Who were you talking to down there?
Edeni asked.
Oh, just a skeleton. She was holding the staff, and I had to take it from it. It's not like she was using it. She's dead, after all.
So you stole it? From a corpse?
Good job, Val,
Ryan boomed.
I've never been more proud of you.
The imp woman clapped the cat girl on the back and nearly sent the blonde flying, but the feline woman chuckled lightly.
I didn't steal it. As I said before, she's dead, and I doubt she needs it now. It looked like she'd been down there for a long time anyway. It wasn't like I stole something from one of Edeni's freshly dead trappers. She was wearing dusty armor and covered in spider webs. It's treasure! I had to take it!
I held the weapon in my fist, and it felt a lot lighter than it looked. My eyes moved over the broken crystal, and I used my fingernail to loosen it out of its holder. The stone broke free from its bindings and laid uselessly in the dirt at our feet.
What is it, Charles?
I have an idea. I need a weapon, don't I?
Yes, but it's just a staff, right?
No, I think it's more than that, I shook my head. Val, what did this woman's armor look like?
Well, it wasn't anything fancy, and it had a bunch of weird symbols and runes carved into the metal. Kind of like the ones we saw back at the black market, at the magic stall.
She was a mage. That means this staff, when it has the right stone placed within it, would have magical properties to it.
Really? That makes it so much more interesting.
Indeed. And I believe that if I manage to break the core into pieces, I can take one of the shards, place it within the spokes, and bring this weapon back to life.
Do you really think so? Oh, Charles, this is so exciting.
Hey now, you were just mad at me because I stole it.
Well, that was before I learned it was a mage's staff. And I wasn't mad at you. I was teasing, my love.
Let's head back home, I barked. I'm even more excited to break the core now than I ever was. We have a lot of work to do, though, so I want all of you to stay strong. Soon we'll have hundreds of monster women who will fight alongside us against the queen and her marchionesses. We're so close. The world is almost ours, and before long I will be your king.